To be here tonight, isn't it?
Amen.
Let me put something on.
I forgot about it. I love it when we forget about stuff.
Amen.
I didn't know I was sitting in a box seat tonight. Sit in a box seat at the Braves game to bring everything to you. You don't have to go get nothing. They even got a special place where you can go in. You don't go in with them common people. Yeah, sitting in a box seat. I was thinking about them Jesus walking on that ice. That's good. I tell you, that's all right if that's what they want him to do, walking on ice. Ain't no miracle in that. I tell you what the miracle is them boys be on that ship rowing that boat through that ice. I guarantee you, it's going to be a miracle when Jesus is around. You might not see it, but it'll be there. Oh, we thank the Lord for what He said already here tonight. I would remind you, we have some tapes and CDs in the foyer if any of you are interested. Remember our study website. I know many of you study with us on a weekly basis. You tell us and email us from time to time. Maybe others of you might want to join us. I know there's only a small element of people in Baptist churches that they just don't get enough on Sunday and Wednesday, you know. They're fanatical, you know, they're crazy. Want to study the Bible every day, you know. Just gone off the deep end, you know. Just crazy. Want to get in the Bible and study, you know. That's the kind of people I'm looking for. If you're of that kind, maybe come and study some with us on a weekly basis. Studying through the Psalms and all the times in Christ is mentioned in the New Testament. We're well up over 100 times that in Christ is mentioned in the New Testament and studying through those thoughts. We began here yesterday and want to continue tonight, shining light on a morbid subject. We began preaching yesterday on death ain't what it seems. Death ain't what it seems. Nowhere in the Bible is death ever given a bad rap. It's always seen as a gain and not as a loss. We looked yesterday morning at death and its revelation. Last evening we looked at death and its reign. Looking at those two things of death and sin. Well, I'll tell you what, if we could find somebody that could take care of both of those things, we'd be home free. I mean, you think if you could find somebody tonight that would get you off the death hook, you'd get free there, and would take all your sins, why, you'd be free. Hey, hey, hey! Know somebody did it. They took care of death, and they took care of all my sins. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Isn't that wonderful tonight? Death. And it's rank. But I would remind you now, although he took care of physical death, ain't going to be no graveyard death for me. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. But he did replace it with something. And I wished he wouldn't have, because what he replaced it with is far worse than what he took away. Oh, don't you get to thinking he done you a favor. You ain't going to get no grave, ain't going to put no lid down on you, ain't going to throw no dirt on the real you. No, I don't think he did you no favors when he did that, because he's asked something much harder out of you. He's going to ask you now to die to yourself. Live the crucified life while you're here. I wish he'd left us with the other. Because I tell you what, he's asked an impossible thing out of us tonight. To live above sin, to walk in victory every day. And it's impossible to do. He must do it in us. He must do it through us. Live the crucified life. Tonight, if we could, I want us to go further in our study. If you've got your Bible there, 2 Corinthians. Chapter number 5. I want to look tonight, if I could, at death and its reaction. Death and its reaction. I don't know about you, I don't testify for you tonight, but having a proper reaction to death tonight ain't no easy thing. I've not had anybody close to die to me, except my grandma years ago. My wife lost both her parents. I asked her the other night, I said, what is it like when they call you and tell you they're gone? I just want to prepare myself when they call me and tell me my daddy and mama's gone. She said, I can't explain it to you. She said, but you ain't going to like it. That's what she told me. I took her at her word. She couldn't explain it to me, and I ain't going to like it. Death and its reaction. Here the scripture says tonight in chapter number 5 and verse number 1, he said, for we know. And this is a fact tonight. This ain't no feeling. Ain't something you can see. It's something we know. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnestness of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. You may be seated. Proper reaction to death. Death and its reaction. You know, there's all kinds of reactions you can have to death. I remember when I was a young boy, one of the first funerals I ever went to, there was a lady there in our church, a baby died. Man, I tell you, that's a little old teeny coffin. I remember as a young lad seeing that steel baby laying there in that coffin. Boy, that funeral home was full. But I've never seen a woman come unglued any more than that woman did. Oh, she screamed. I don't believe I ever heard the pitches of the noise that she made. Everybody was standing around there at the funeral home, and she had sort of quieted down. I thought maybe she had got a composure. But she had left. She'd gone out to the car. Somebody looked. The little old coffin was empty. She had got the baby. Gone to the car with her. She was devastated. I was thinking about my brother's grandson. 3 or 4 years ago, he drowned in my brother's hot tub. Or his wife has really had a rough time of it. Somebody said the other Christmas, she goes out there at Christmas time, opens presents at the grave, and she burns candles there at the house around his picture at Christmas time and stuff. Somebody said something to me, said, don't you think somebody ought to say something to her about burning them candles? I said, Lord God, if it was my kid, I might be burning more than candles. I'm not here tonight to tell you how you ought to react to death. I'm not here tonight and going to tell you how I'm going to react to death. I'm just here tonight to tell you what the Bible says, how we ought to react to death. Now, whether you want to do what the Bible says about how you want to react to death, that's your business. But I am a hoping that God will give me the ability to react like the Bible says we ought to react to death. Because remember, death ain't what it seems. Death ain't what it seems. As we begin in this text, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I want to hammer down tonight 3 little words. you'll see them progressing. But they'll give us three reactions to death tonight, and they're so important. I wished I had the grip on them. I wished I had them ready. I wished I had them in the arsenal. And when death comes, I'll just throw them at them. But I don't know that I'm quite that far down the road, but I'm interested. I'm interested in reacting like the Bible says about death. As we start in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I want us to look first of all tonight at the principles about this reaction. The principles about this reaction. I notice here in our text, in verses 2 and 4, there's the principle of groaning out. Groaning out. Paul said here twice, he said in verse 2, "For in this we groan." He makes a statement again in verse number 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." Pray tell, why are we groaning? Because verse number 1 says, "For we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved." Here's the reason why we groan tonight. Because that little house that you're sitting in there tonight, it's dissolving on you. It is ever so slow. And sometimes God can speed up the process. I was thinking about that again today. Precious preacher friend, I've held services for him several times. That Moses Florence, he pastors up here in Powder Springs, Georgia. His daughter, kids go to school where my son's principal. And she's 42 years old, athlete. Said she had the pulse of a runner. Run every day, lift weights, went to gym every day. A couple of weeks ago, she was lifting some weights, thought she pulled her back. Got a husband to rub some of that liniment on her back. Thursday, she was on her way home from work. She told her husband, she said, "I'm going to run by the hospital. I don't feel good." He said, "I'll meet you at the emergency room." He got over at the emergency room. She was sitting at the admissions desk. They were asking those opening questions. He sat down there beside her. He sat down there beside her. She reached over and held his hand and said, "Honey, I'm going." And that was it. Massive heart attack. 42 years old. Oh, you ain't got to be sick to die. Oh, no, you ain't got to be old to die. This body is dissolving. That little word dissolve is an interesting little word. It means to loosen. This body tonight is pulling up the tent pegs. This body tonight is pulling in the anchor on you. This body fixing to set sail. I don't know when yours is going to sail. Might sail tonight. Oh, Lord, some of you might have 40 years left, 50 years, if the Lord don't come back. But it is a possibility tonight. Hey, they might crank the anchor up on you tonight. Real quick. But it is dissolving. That little word dissolve there means to lodge in as but a guest. I didn't know if you noted or not, but that ain't a house you're living in. That's a motel you're living in. You're just a guest there, huh? Oh, don't think you're going to be in there a long time. I tell you what, if you live to be 100, it'd still be a short time you lived in that box. It's dissolving on you. And because of that dissolving tonight, that little word dissolve means to come to an exasperating end, to come to naught, to come down is the word dissolve. Paul said because of that, he said we groan in this body. I'm talking about the principle of groaning out. Extremely interested in that little word, groan. What's that little word, groan, mean, preacher? Oh, it's awful deep. I don't even know if you can get it or not. One of the meanings is this. You done that any today? Has your body made you do any of this today? Huh? I don't know about you. If I get up in the morning, ain't nothing new hurting, I think that's a good day. They say there wasn't nothing hurt. I never get up in the morning, ain't nothing hurting. No, 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 no. But if you get up in the morning, ain't nothing new hurting. I got up the other morning and my middle finger was froze. And it was aching like a toothache. And I could not move it for 24 hours. And all of a sudden it was back just like it was before. in the world's going on? Groaning. Watch that little word, groan. Don't miss it. Oh, it's so good. It'll help some of you. This will help some of you old people tonight know what's going on inside your body. That little word, groan, not only does it mean to sigh, but the little word means to pray inaudibly without words. Paul said that God is going to make some things go on inside of your body tonight that'll make you pray, and it don't have no words to it. You listening to me? Inaudible words tonight, that little word groan. That little word groan tonight, it means to creak or squeak. Did you know that your pains that you having tonight, they just creaking noises? What that creaking noise is for, preacher? There's something inside of you saying, I want out of this house. Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. You having any pains tonight? Just rub that little pain and say, that little old pain is telling me, I want out of this house. I'm sick of living in here. Groaning. Principle of groaning out. Paul said in verse number 4, for this cause, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened down. This burdening down, there's a groaning, there's a creaking. What is it? There's something inside of us that wants to move from mortality to immortality tonight. There is something inside of us, it is the real us tonight, that don't want to stay here no more. It wants to make the cross. And it's creaking. Creaking, wants out of this body. Principle of groaning out. But watch the text. Well, it's not only there the principle of groaning out, but there's the principle of going up. He says in verse number 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body. There are some of you tonight that are at home in your body. You liking it. You done everything to it. You know the man. Huh? You've curled it, you've bleached it, you've straightened it, you've skinned it, you've fatted it, you've done everything you know to it. And you still don't like it. Huh? You listening to me? He said, therefore we're always confident knowing that whilst we're at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Reason why you don't like that body, you want, there's something in it wants to get out. Something in you wants to go up. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said in verse 8, for we are confident, I say, and willing. I didn't know if you'd see that word. I wanted to underline it. That is one of the key words tonight to having a proper reaction to death, is you being willing. Are you listening to me tonight? Here's where death to self's going to come in, honey. You're going to have to lose your will in His. All this crowd tonight been telling you, you got free will. I'm telling you somewhere, here's right where you want to kill it. Because your free will tonight ain't going to like that. Huh? Ain't nobody of their own free will and volition want to get in that line. It's going to have to be death to self. Crucified life in order to be made willing. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can buy into that or not. To be willing tonight to be absent from the body, be present from the Lord. I was thinking about old Simeon tonight there in the temple. He saw the Lord and he said, I can now depart in peace. That little word, depart in peace, he said, I can now pull up the anchor rope. Huh? You know, you hear people talking about they're going to die. Anybody want to die? So I know if you're going to get up a bus load now, I don't want to get on. Old Simeon said, I'm ready to get on the bus. How come? I done seen the Lord. You know, if you saved tonight, you done seen it all. What do you want to stay around here for? You done saw all the world this could give you. Huh? To know Him, is that's it. That's the highest peak. You done reached the top.
If you've been saved, got Christ dwelling in you, that's as high as you can go in this world. You trying to climb some more? Honey, you're at the top now. Ain't nowhere else to go. Get on the bus. Willing. Willing. Death to self. Oh, tonight. You say, preacher, it's hard for me to buy into it. Could I ask you something tonight? You say, preacher, I don't know. I'm awful young. I don't believe I could buy into that being willing. God want to take me. I'm willing to go. Well, could I ask you this tonight? Would you be willing to be made willing? Ain't not much to ask of you, is it? He done so much on that cross. Would you be willing tonight to be made willing? You better watch where you're buying it at now. Yeah. Willing now to be made willing. Oh, there's the key word tonight. If we're going to have a proper reaction, when death comes, when you lose that loved one, when you lose that family member, when you lose that mate, when they call you and tell you one of your youngins are dead, if you're going to have a proper reaction to death, you better get willing prior to that happening. You better cross that willing bridge long before that comes. Willing. Willing tonight. Willing to let God do what he wants to. I didn't know if anybody had ever told you or not, but life ain't got no steering wheel to it. I know some of you trying to direct it, direct the hound out of it. You ain't got no steering wheel. You ain't even got the gas pedal nor the brake. Huh? I ain't going to let you drive this life. Easy. You better let life flow tonight. You can't direct life. Willing tonight. Watch, go further with me now. We're talking about a death and its reaction. Still got your Bible there? Look in John's Gospel, chapter number 5. I want to pull out another little key word. One of the little words is willing. Now, I want to go on record tonight. I don't know that I'm willing. You say, preacher, gracious, you not willing? What the world you want to preach to us about being willing? Hey, I told you when I started, I am not here tonight to tell you how you ought to react to death. I'm not here to tell you tonight how I'm going to react to death. All I'm here to do is to tell you tonight what the Bible says, how we ought to react to death. But I'm interested in getting willing tonight. I'm interested if the Lord wants to make me willing. I am interested in being made willing tonight for him to reach in and take whatever he wants or take whoever he wants tonight. Are you listening to me tonight? You'll never live until you're willing tonight. Let him do whatever he wants to do. Because it don't matter if you're willing tonight, he's still going to do whatever he wants to. But it'll help you tonight if you're willing. You'll enjoy the trip more. And you won't go to screaming trying to get them out of the coffin and take them to the car. If you're willing. They won't find you humped over the coffin. Oh my God, what am I going to do? No. They won't find you doing that. Well, not going to mean you ain't going to cry. Don't mean you ain't going to be broken. Don't mean that you're not going to weep for months. You ain't going to come unglued. You ain't going to fall apart where you can't minister to others and comfort others with the comfort wherewith you've been comforted tonight. If you are willing tonight. Watch the text now. We're back over in John's Gospel, chapter number 5. We've looked at the principles of this proper reaction. Could I mention the promise in our reaction? John chapter number 5 and verse number 28. Promise in our reaction. We've looked at one key word. One key word is willing. That'll help you with death tonight. Willing to let God do whatever he wants to. You remember now, he's going to do whatever he wants to. He'll take whoever he wants to. If he wants one of your youngins, you think he's going to stop tonight because you don't want him to? No, he'll stop him at all. He wants one of me coming after him. Right. Are you willing to be made willing? Just let him do whatever he wants to. John chapter number 5. I notice in this promise of the reaction, I notice one of these promises tonight, verses 28 and 29. The first resurrection assures us of the second. The first resurrection assures us of the second resurrection. I was wondering tonight, any of y'all ever been resurrected from the dead? I have. I didn't know if any of you have been resurrected from dead, but I've been resurrected from dead. He told me in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead. I was dead when he found me. He made me alive. I've been raised from the dead. Huh? You may not have been raised from the dead, but I've been raised from the dead. I mean, I was dead as a hammer. I couldn't get to God. Free will of choice, grace, what am I going to choose? I could choose this way. I couldn't choose that way. I was all messed up. Huh? I know some of y'all had a little spark of divinity in you, and you could choose God, but he didn't make me like that. He made me all messed up. I was depraved sure enough to the core. All I could do was pick this way. I couldn't pick that way. I was all messed up. Huh? I didn't know if you know it or not, but you like that too. Huh? Ain't nobody told you. The first resurrection assures you of the second. Look in chapter number 5. Look at verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour's coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear. I didn't know if you see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it. Here is the second principle in having a proper reaction to death tonight. First one is willing. Second one is hearing something. Preacher, you talking about hearing something with these ears? God forbid. See, this is what's going to mess you all up about death. I tell you what, I went to a preacher's meeting this morning, and I tell you, I heard more trouble and more dead people than I have ever in my life heard. Man, I tell you, they were dying everywhere. If you listen with these ears, you know what you're going to do? I listen with these ears, and I come out that like this. Man, there ain't no hope. They dying there at 42 years old. I've been trying to walk a little bit. She was running every day. Ain't no hope for me. Whoa. You listening to me? He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. First resurrection assures you of the second. The question is tonight, have you ever heard anything in that first resurrection? Watch the text. Look at verse number 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. You know, all my life, my dad and mom took me to church all my life. I heard a general call of the gospel every time I went to church. It was a fundamental church. Every time I went to church, I heard a general call of the gospel. Heard it with my ear. Oh, yeah. I heard the preacher said, oh, everyone that's thirsty, let him come, whosoever will. Let him come. Let everybody, come on, come on, come on. I heard it with my ear. It do me a bit of good. One morning, 1968, I was sitting back there where my brother loves to shout. Had sitting right back there where he was. I didn't hear no general call of the gospel that morning. See, God don't give no general call of the gospel. God ain't ever give no general call of the gospel. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's what men, God has sent preachers. He has raised us up to give a general call. Call anybody and everybody. I tell you what, if the elect had a yellow stripe down their back, we'd know who to call, but they don't. Huh? We call them all. Anybody, come. But he don't do that. He gives an effectual call. That morning, I did not hear something here. I heard something here. Come, get up, come forth. That call, that summons to come was accompanied with the ability to come. Not only did God call me, he gave me the ability to come. You listening to me? I heard something. I was wondering this tonight. You know anything about that voice? Have you ever heard that voice? Preacher, what does it sound like? If I got to explain to you what it sounds like, it won't help you. You listening to me? I'm just asking you tonight, have you ever heard it? I tell you, if you've ever heard it, it'll help you with death tonight. It'll help you with death tonight to hear that voice. He says in verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth him on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There's hearing involved in it. Hearing with this ear, oh no, hearing down here. You mean to tell me, preacher, God talks to you? Yeah, God talks to me. You mean here? No, down here. But he's been so loud down here, I thought I was hearing him up here. First resurrection assures you of the second resurrection. He said in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall what? live. If you've ever heard God an effectual call, call your name, tell you to come forth, you can rest assured of one thing. You will hear his name when he calls you to come forth out of the grave. Huh? I love the hound of that. It turns my cranks, don't you? Look at verse 28. Marvel not, for the hour is coming in which they that are in the grave shall what? Hear his voice. Oh, it's so important tonight to hear his voice. Old John said over in John chapter number 10, my sheep know me, they know my voice, and they follow me. I just wonder tonight, do you know what his voice sounds like? Have you ever heard him? You say, preacher, you're being awful nosy tonight. No, I ain't being nosy. I'm just trying to get you ready for death tonight. Huh? Do you know that voice? Do you know when he's talking? I'm not going to testify for you tonight, but I have a hard time figuring out sometimes if I'm talking to me or Jesus talking to me. Huh? Sometimes I can throw my voice and sound just like Jesus. You listen to me? Well, you know something inside me? Boy, I could be so religious, sound just like Jesus in there. But I tell you what, when he speaks, it's just so clear. When he speaks, I know that throwing voice in there, it's real close, but there's just something different about that other voice. Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm telling you tonight, the first resurrection assures us of the second resurrection. It is involved tonight in that hearing tonight. The first resurrection will assure us of the second. The call unto will assure us of the call out of here tonight. If he's ever called you unto himself tonight, he will call you out of here. Oh, tonight. Do you have an ear for God tonight? Does God talk to you? Does God speak to you? Oh, I love the hound out of it when God talks to me, don't you? My wife was telling me today, we was discussing something in our family that was going on, and she told me that she had been praying about it on Saturday, and she said while she was praying about it, she said God told her that he was going to do it. And you know, they called us Sunday afternoon and said it was done. You have any problem believing that God told her that was done? You don't need to pray about it anymore. I took care of it. He had. I love it. You ever have any crazy thing like that happen to you? God speak to you? Oh, tonight, it is because of that effectual call, that resurrection, that first one, I'll guarantee you the second one, that effectual call unto him will assure you of a call out of here tonight. Oh, I love that tonight. What's involved in having a proper reaction to death? One thing, willing. Second thing, hearing. You got any ear for God? God talk to you tonight? God saying anything to you tonight? You say, preacher, I don't know if God taught me. This is awful deep. I don't know. Man, this would be way off. We just jumped clear out in the abyss tonight with this little thought. God don't talk to nobody but his children. You listening to me tonight? If God ain't talking to you now, you make yourself a little note. I don't belong to him. Not one of his sheep. Talks to his sheep. Oh, the promise in our reaction. Watch this now. Oh, this is so good. I hate to even, this is the last little thought. You remember, there's three words now. Willing. I must be willing tonight, and even if I'm not willing, to allow God to do whatever he wants. Am I willing to be made willing? God's going to do whatever he wants to or not, but he loves it tonight when we are obediently willing tonight. Give God whatever he wants. Then, there's this word of listening tonight. I got an ear for God tonight. He's ready to call me out of here tonight. I'm listening. I'm listening tonight. Watch this now. John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. We've looked at the principles about our reaction. We looked at the promise for our reaction. Can I mention tonight the purpose, the person for our reaction? You know, God ain't gonna let you go through this by yourself. He sends a person to go through this thing with us, make sure we have the proper reaction. He went through it with Mary and Martha. Watch it now. The person for our reaction. I notice in chapter number 11, verses 14 and 15, there is the person of proclamation. You know the little old story. He was 4 days late, all that stuff. You know how that, you know. You know the story. I ain't got to tell you. But how come was he late? You ever give any thought to how come he was late? Tells us in the scripture. Then said Jesus, verse 14, unto them plainly, Lazarus dead. He had tried to smooth that thing over. He told him one time, he said, oh, he's sleeping. He's trying to, you know, just call him, you know, just rock him along like people tell you. You know, doctors will come out and tell you, you know, you know, I've done all you can for your loved one, you know. They don't ever come out and say, dead. Graveyard dead. He ain't breathing no more. It's gone. They don't ever come out and tell you that. Always try. And that's, our Lord's trying to be kind. He told me to sleep. And they told him, well, if he's sleeping, ain't no need of us going over and waking him up. Let him sleep. Finally, he told me he's dead. Plain. And I'm interested in what he told him next. Verse number 15. And I'm glad. Now, I don't like that part of it. He said, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad. Whoa. How would you like that if Jesus come by the funeral home, you standing there by the coffin of the sweetest thing you know, and the Lord said, they dead and I'm glad. Well, that'd be real bedside manner, wouldn't it? Huh? Be glad that they dead. That little word glad there is cheerfully calm, happy, full of joy. Oh, tonight, there must be more to this death thing than we knowed. It must not be a bad thing. He said he dead, I'm glad. Death must not be a loss, it must be a gain. I'm talking about the person of proclamation. He says again, makes a proclamation, verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, old Martha's met him. She's wrestling with death. She takes him into the past. She says, if you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died. Then she takes him way over in the future. She said, oh, I know you the resurrection and the life. She just take him all over the world. That's the way Martha was. She's all over the world. She's flying high, flying low, but she's flying. Look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth I didn't know if you'd see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it. There's the third word. Have proper reaction to death. Got to be willing. Got to be listening. You got to be believing. Believing what, preacher? You certainly don't want to believe what you can see. Oh, no. Now, I don't know about you. You might have seen a pretty funeral home before. I ain't never seen no. You ain't never seen me riding down the road and see a funeral home and say, boy, ain't that a pretty funeral home? I ain't never seen no pretty funeral home. Oh, no. I done been back there in the back. Huh? Oh, yeah. I've been back there where they sell their wares and where they do their dues on you. It ain't pretty in there. Oh, no. Pretty nothing about no funeral home. You can't believe what you can see. No, you're going to have to walk by faith now. You're going to have to believe facts. Watch the text now. He says here, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Watch this text now. Look at verse 26. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Whoa. Time out. Hold on. That is a bold statement there. He told Martha, he said, if you'll believe me, you'll never die. Whoa. Crazy. Y'all had funerals here before? Y'all put them right here? Huh? I mean, any of y'all been a pallbearer at the funeral? I mean, you heard them air seal them, ain't you? That guy with the crank. He said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Now, are you going to believe what you can see? Are you going to believe the facts? He said, you believe in me, you'll never die. Whoa. Exhale here, inhale over there. That's all death here. Next breath over there. That old gal over there in the emergency room the other night, when she reached and touched his head and said, honey, I'm gone. She took one step out of the emergency room into eternity. And she's been breathing ever since. Oh, look. She ain't got heart problem no more either. And she ain't got a jog over there. No. She ain't got a jog over there. No. Free. You listening to me tonight? Talking about the person of proclamation. But did you see what he said at the end of verse number 26. Believest thou this? Do you believe that tonight? Do you sure enough got the guts enough to believe you ain't never going to die? Huh? I love that gal tonight. It was worth me coming here and preaching all week. She said tonight, she said that God showed her that all her sins are gone. I love the hound. That's why I'm traveling all over this country. Man, when they stand up and tell that, that is a satisfied customer. They got my message. I've been preaching it for years. Our sins are gone and we're never going to die. Amen. Devil can't do nothing with you. You're out of his reach when your sins are gone and you can't die. Huh? Oh, he might gum you a little bit, but he can't bite you no more. Huh? Watch the person of the proclamation. Watch the person of passion. Verse number 35. They brought Jesus out there to the tomb. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't figure this verse out until a couple of weeks ago. Why did Jesus cry? I've been told all my life that he cried for Mary and Martha because Lazarus died. I don't believe a word of it. I tell you why he was crying. Because he had to raise him from the dead. The boy has been on the eternal shores for 4 days and he got to bring him back. And not only has he got to bring him back, he got to keep his mouth shut and not tell anybody about what he saw over there. And it caused Jesus to cry. Huh? Oh, I love that, don't you? He's not a crying because he died. Death is a gain. It's not a loss. He's a crying because he's got to bring him back to this side of the world. Can you imagine being in heaven for 4 days and having to come back? Huh? And then if that wasn't bad enough, he can't tell nobody about it. Got to keep a secret. Oh, I'm talking about the person of this passion. He did it all. How come? He said in verse number 40, Jesus said unto her, said not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. God did all of this so he could show his glory, show his majesty. Person of the proclamation. Person of passion. Could I mention the person of provision? You ever given any thought to what he did for Lazarus? Oh, it'll blow your mind. Verse 38 and 39. Jesus therefore again groaning himself coming to the grave. He's groaning now. It was a cave, stone laid upon him. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he's stinking. He's stinking. He's in a tomb. Stinking in a tomb. Oh, you ever give any thought to what he did for him? Right now, stinking and in a tomb. He's in a tomb. And he stinks. What'd he do for him? Luke chapter 12, verse number 2. There they made him a supper. Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. He come from a tomb and stinking to a table and supper. Oh, I love that. That's exactly what he's going to do for us tonight. Oh, we might have to go in a tomb for a while. The real us will be in heaven. That's just that old house, that old motel you used to live in for all those years. They're going to stick that in the ground. It's going to dissolve. It's going to go back to the earth. But, oh, we're going to be sitting at a table eating supper. Oh, I love that, don't you, tonight? Huh? Years ago, I was thinking about death again today. You know, death's just a shadow. That's what the Bible says. Shadow of death. Fear no evil. Just a shadow. You know, a shadow can't hurt you. You're riding down the road. Let me ask you. You're riding down the road. Would you rather for the shadow of a transfer truck to go over you? Or would you rather for a transfer truck to go over you? I take the shadow. I have had the shadow of a transfer truck scare me before, though. You turn the wheel. Huh? Ain't you? It's just a shadow. It's all death is. Valley of the shadow of death. Years ago,
I come home from Korea. I was in Bible school. We was married. I was working Greenville General Hospital. I was a medic in the Army. And I worked a late shift there at Greenville General Hospital. It's a major emergency room there in that county. They bring all the dead people there at night. I was working there 11 to 7. And it was my joy, my thrill, to tag them all on the toe, take them downstairs to the morgue. I couldn't do it. I did it for a couple of months. Oh, I couldn't do it. Oh, it just racked my, oh, I just couldn't do it. And it used to take them down there to the morgue. And there was two old black guys down at Greenville General Hospital. They'd been working at the morgue there in Greenville General Hospital for 15 years, both of them had. And every time I'd bring a dead body down there, they'd be sitting up on the table where they wash you smoking cigarettes. I asked one of them one night, I said, don't dead people bother you? He said, oh, Lord. I said, no, they don't bother me. He said, preacher, he said, they just won't hurt you. He said, they make you hurt yourself. I'll never forget that. Oh, death ain't going to hurt you. Right. Might make you hurt yourself. Right. Not going to hurt you. Old D.L. Moody said one time from the pulpit, he said, if anybody ever comes by and tells you I'm dead, he said, don't believe a word of it. He said, I will be more alive then than I am now. Oh, I was thinking tonight while they was singing that song about the old ship. We're not on no good ship Lollipop. Oh, no, we're on the old ship of Zion. Somewhere along the line, somebody real close to you gonna leave here. The question is tonight, have you dealt with the willing issue? Have you dealt with the listening issue? Have you dealt with the believing issue? You gonna believe what you can see? I tell you, when you look over in that casket, you look at that hard old body, you feel it and it's cold. I tell you what, it's gonna say a lot of things to you. It's gonna say hopeless. Gonna say, ain't gonna never see him no more. You look at what you see. Got to deal now with that willing issue. Got to deal with that listening issue. Gonna listen to what you can hear around you. I tell everybody I talk to, they talking like death ain't no fun. That believing issue. Gonna believe what you can see. Gonna believe the facts. Here's the facts. One day, all of us, the Lord don't come back, we have to give up a loved one. Give up somebody close to us. And I tell you, I'd say that old boy the other night, if I know them like I think I know them, met them several times at Mother Moses' house. I bet you he stood there in that emergency room for a long time, and held her little old body, and he kept waving. She had set sail. He kept waving. That old body probably got cold in his arms. He just kept waving. Oh, there's going to come a time. Somebody close to us is going to leave. And we're going to wave until they're out of sight. We're going to keep waving until they close that coffin. Oh, some of us, I'm one of that kind. I'll stay out there in the graveyard until they put them in the vault and they seal the top on the vault and they put the dirt on them. I ain't going to the house and coming back later. I want to see it all. I'm going to wave to them as long as I can. Sooner or later, they're going to be out of sight. But I'm talking about now being willing. I'm talking about hearing something, knowing something. When they set sail and you started waving at them, I assure you tonight there was a group on the other side of the shore and they started saying, here they come. Here they come. They're coming in. They're coming home. Oh, I have got that assurance tonight. It's the only assurance I've got. And don't pitch me and wake me up. I'm holding on to it. Talking to you. I'm not telling you how you ought to react when somebody dies. I'm not telling you how I'm going to react. I'm just telling you tonight what the Bible says about reacting. Got to be willing. Got to be listening. Got to be believing. Stand with us tonight. Heads bowed.
Sisters are coming.